I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales. We moved to the reptiles. Now, Jeremy, there are items about snakes here. I'm beginning to be suspicious about snakes. They only seem to curl up under babies' chairs or in children's toys or in the nursery. Is that because snakes know where they are and people won't look for them? Or is it because the ones who curl up in the living room don't get any respect because the headlines don't include them? Which is it?
I honestly think it could be a bit of both, but at the same time too, John, I'm with you. I've noticed that of all the major headlines recently, it tends to be snakes in children's toys and children's backpacks. And now we have here in Melbourne this week a snake that actually curled up under a child's bouncy chair. So I think what's probably happening more so than anything else is the fact that maybe as parents, you're much more alert to looking at what your child's playing around and what they're actually playing in. And a lot of snakes are being found around the kids because, of course, the parents are looking for dangers and they found it. But at the same time, too, I think if you think about it, a child's bedroom or a child's playroom, often that climate is really heavily controlled by the parents because we don't want our kids to get too hot or too cold. So it's actually really at quite a nice level for anybody to live in, including snakes. And of course, snakes, they really want to find hidey holes. So the one thing I think that kids tend to have more so than us adults tend to have is a lot of clutter, a lot of kids' toys, a lot of bouncy chairs that we had in this case in Melbourne, and a lot of just generally stuffed animals, which snakes absolutely love to curl up in. Because the one thing that snakes really, really look for when they're trying to feel safe is something that's warm and soft and hidden out of the way, which of course perfectly describes a child's toy box full of stuffed toys. So I think, John, in some ways, while the snakes themselves are probably headline grabbers and at the base of it, I think the reality is that it's probably a bit of both in that the climate that the child's bedrooms or our child's playrooms have is perfect for the snake, but the snakes that are being found around the house elsewhere, you know what, probably not making the headlines so much so, even though we do know that the number of snakes being found this year is at least triple what it was a couple of years ago and is going to continue to rise. So honestly, John, once again, I've got a toddler here in the house, of course, Chelsea, and I check everything now twice, outside, inside. I look through a toy box before she's allowed to play with everything. She probably thinks I'm crazy, but hopefully one day she'll realize it's just daddy trying to save her.
I'm imagining a scenario where you have an infant who can't complain or convey information, and you find a tiger snake underneath the crib. How do you know the tiger snake hasn't attacked? You don't. You'd be panicked. You'd think, we're going to the hospital now. I don't trust my own eyes. Is that what happens, Jeremy?
That actually does happen. And in this case, during the week where we had a tiger snake under a bouncy chair, I do believe the parents definitely checked the child. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the child was taken to a doctor to be checked over. Because the reality is, children, and especially infants, they can't tell you when they're in pain. They can't tell you if they've got bitten. And snakes, especially tiger snakes, and in this case in Melbourne, the tiger snake was still only a teenager, so it didn't have fully developed fangs. They're actually quite small. If it had bitten into the child, it would have left only very, very small puncture marks. So, of course, I guess the best advice is that if you do find a snake anywhere near your child, you do take the children to the doctor to be double checked. Watch for signs of lethargy. Look for signs that the child is starting to not behave normal. But just get them on the way to a hospital just in case they actually have been bitten. Because honestly, I mean, snakes, when they bite too, while we imagine searing pain and we imagine that the snake's going to rip into your skin and you'll feel it, often snake bites are not really felt by the person being bitten, or they think that it's just a slight jab from a stick or maybe a little prickle, because snake fangs are very, very sharp, which means the child may not scream when they're being bitten. They might not even realize it. So, exactly, John, you've really got to take the child out to be double checked, because I wouldn't trust my own eyes to try and find it. You just never know.
Do the authorities sell antitoxin kits for children?
They don't sell them, but hospitals definitely carry them. In fact, all the hospitals around Australia, the major hospitals, have the antivenin. And I believe that the antivenin for adults is exactly the same
I
for
see.
children. So that's very much the same. But also in the child's first aid kit as well, what you'll find in Australia, especially through our St. John's service, which is the major provider of first aid kits for Australia, you often find they do have child-sized tourniquets and bandages, which are actually made to look after a snake bite wound as well on a child. Unfortunately, with infants, because they are so small, even the smallest wrapping bandages and tourniquets that appear in most of the snake bite kits are still a little bit large. But you can be pretty much rest assured that if you buy a child's first aid kit here in Australia, you actually do get all the equipment you need to look after your children as well, because everybody needs to be protected from snakes at the end of the day.
I'm getting paranoid about snakes, and I live pretty far from Australia. So Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. We're moving on to Boxing Day. If you don't know the ceremony of Boxing Day, it's attached to a couple different origins. One is the you, that would be the upper class, and giving presents to the non-you, that would be the servants, the day after Christmas. There are other explanations. For example, you actually give presents in boxes so they can be surprises. When we come back, however, the Boxing Day that's at issue here is about a match that took place in Melbourne between the world-famous India cricket team and the champions last summer, Australian cricket team, and a misunderstanding. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.